I want to greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning, and just bless the Lord for being here and being able to worship with you. And just thank you, Brother Sally, for your thoughts this morning and your prayer there. And Brother Ray, thank you for willingness to share there. It's a real blessing. And was it Sister Michelle that committed to the body today? I want to bless you. Lord be with you. And God bless you for your commitment. I feel very unworthy to be up here today. It's been a long time since I shared here. And I told Brother Steve that I would just as soon rather have one of y'all share. There's many brethren here that I remember that love to share for Jesus. And I would have loved to just hear one of you share today. In the message here, and there's many have moved in since I've been here that I know love to share the Word of God, and I want to bless you for that. So, I would have just as soon listened today, but in the same thought there, I count it a joy and a privilege to be able to just to share about God. So just pray for me that God could be glorified and that His people could be blessed, and that each one here could be encouraged. Just a few thoughts here in the beginning. It would be my desire that everybody here would leave today with a blessing in their life from God. And as for my part, I think I could leave now. And I have received that blessing already. And I just want to thank God for His faithfulness. But I trust that God will continue to bless us. And when you think of speaking to small children all the way up to grandma and grandpa, and the variance in life that is from in between that span, only God, thank you, only God can break the bread of life. Only God is able to go into each heart and make a difference. And I trust that God can do that. I trust that God will do that. And if you're here today, I really appreciated Sally's thoughts there that, you know, if you're here today and you want to be here, you don't feel like you have to be, but you want to be here, and if you want to hear from God, if your heart is open, I trust that we will be blessed, that God will speak to us. So for the songs that I passed around there, maybe we could sing that song here just in a minute, and that probably gives it away just a little bit about what we'll talk about today. And one more thing before I forget, I wanted to say a special thank you to the church here for the love offering that units have sent down to us as a family. Here some time ago when we got rid of our old house and we got a new house, I was very humbled at the love offering that the dear church here in Allen County sent down. With the new building project that you have going here, and all the needs and the just the realities of life, and that you found it in your heart to share in that way, that was very humbling. And I want to bless you for that. And I also wanted to share with us that, you know, one day. It's important, I think, in what spirit we share the Word of God in. And God can speak in, you know, if His Word is spoken, God has spoken. But it's my desire and my prayer that the spirit in what the Word is shared today would be edifying, and that it would be encouraging and inspiring, and that we wouldn't find ourselves condemned or in condemnation. If we're here struggling today, I want you to find God. I want you to find His strength. I want you to find His love and His peace for your life. That's my desire. So just, I trust that God will do that today. One time, Jesus, well, it was actually when He came off the Mount of, remember the Mount of Transfiguration there, there was some people trying to cast out some devils, I think, and John told him, "Hey, Jesus, these guys was over here, and they was, you know, they was trying to do things, and I told them to stop because they were not one of us." And Jesus told John, "Don't do that." He says, "If they're not against us, they're for us." And then it was just right after that. Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem, and I think it was right when He got there, or on His way there, the people didn't receive Him. And James and John was like, "Hey, Lord, you know, we got a good idea here. You're Jesus, and these people, they rejected You. Let's just pray and have a fire come down from heaven, and let's burn them up. Let's just roast them, Lord." You know? And Jesus is like, "Man, you're not understanding. I didn't come here to toast people alive. I didn't come here to destroy men's lives." Jesus told him, "I come here to save men." So I trust that As we even leave from here, that would be in my heart, and that in each one of our hearts, that we would go forth to save men's lives. So anyway, maybe we could sing this song. Where's our fearless song leader, brother? Would you start that song for us?
Fields of sin. When they walked in the light, now they crawl through the night. Oh Lord, give us faithful men.
Faithful men.
Faithful men. Faithful men to recapture the vision again. Are true and all true and true. Oh Lord, give us faithful men.
Give us
men who are strong when the battle is long. Give us men with the will to you. Oh Lord, give us faithful men.
Faithful men.
Faithful men. Faithful men to recapture the vision. 40 laymen are needed today, and persist them unto the end. Men whose feet are secure on the rock that is sure. Oh Lord, give us faithful men.
Yes, amen. Thank you for that. And I don't know what, excuse me, I'm not sure what was going through our minds as we was singing that song. But second verse says, give us men who are strong when the battle is long. Give us men with a will to win. If we think about it, in this past week, were we faithful? I trust that that was our desire. In this past week, God seen, Dolly shared a few practical things, you know, what we may have been doing. God seen each one of our lives in this past week. And He knew the intent and the motives of our hearts. And I just want to encourage us this morning that there was a lot of things that we did this week that other people could see. And there's a blessing in doing right in that. I don't want to take that blessing away. But think about all the things that men, society didn't see. Was I faithful? You know, as you're sitting here this morning, only you know, and God. And that's how God wants our hearts to be, that we recognize Him and see Him as a special friend, as a special Savior. If this week, if you have struggled long, and you lost, and nobody's seen, but God knows. I want to encourage you today that if you love God, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, if you are one of His, that Jesus weeps with you. If you failed this week, and if you've wept in sorrow, and ask Christ to forgive you, His arm was around you. He cried with you. He is right beside us. He is within our hearts. The kingdom of God is within us. And I find it a help in my life that when temptation comes, if I will allow the Holy Spirit in the presence of God to guide my mind and to direct my mind into more of a reality of God and His Spirit and His presence and His life and His will in my life, you can almost see Jesus beside you. You may not be able to see Him with your physical eye, but He is there. And when the presence of God is in your soul, go sin. Go try to sin. I want the presence of God in my soul, because when Jesus is in my heart, when Jesus is close beside me, when I have a hold of His hand, I won't sin. That's my prayer. That's my desire, that every second of my life would be lived like that. And I trust that God will help us in that We don't just at random try to be good, but that the presence of God would always be with us, and that we could be holy, that we could be faithful. Just a couple things that I'd like to talk about today, and directing our minds to the message is: are we ready to meet God? And do we realize that the day of the Lord is nearer than what it was before? It's nearer. And I would just like to, I'll jump ahead in the message just a little bit here, but there's a verse in the Bible that says Jezebel stirred the heart of her husband Ahab. She stirred him, but it was in the wrong way. And I trust that as we go from here, that we can stir men, that we can stir people, that we can stir up in each other a fervent desire to love God, as Brother Ray told us, and to love Jesus with our whole heart, that we can help each other in that. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Zephaniah, there's a few verses there I'd like to look at, and Zephaniah is all the way in the end of the Old Testament. If you go all the way to the end of Malachi, then go back a few chapters, you'll find Zephaniah. It's right before Zechariah. And it's right after Habakkuk. Okay. The words here that we're about to read have a very practical meaning here in Zephaniah's prophecy, that a lot of those have probably been fulfilled. I don't know that I understand history as good as some of y'all. But the way that I understand this scripture is that the prophecies of Zephaniah here to the people, a lot of those have been fulfilled. But I believe that there is a thread in some verses here that speak of a day that has not yet been fulfilled. It's sort of like when you read about the devil, in I think it's in Ezekiel. It's in some prophecies, but if you look closely, God gives us a glimpse at Satan, that a thread shows through that's there in several different ways. And I think that's what Zephaniah is here, that there is some end time thoughts here that I think God wants us to understand. And I trust that they'll help us to prepare and be a blessing to us. But maybe we'll start reading in verse 4. It says, I will stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the chairman with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship, and them that swear by the Lord, and them that swear by Malcolm. This is judgment upon the people, and there's six steps of judgment here of who's going to be judged. I'm only going to use three of them, but we'll read all six of them here. Verse 6, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for Him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, He hath bid His guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. And we don't have time to talk about all the different aspects of these verses, but if you'll notice there, the such as are clothed with strange apparel. If you jump ahead to the in the New Testament when the king came in and seen one that was not there in wedding clothes, if you look at both of those scriptures and just look at that, why, and just God can stir our hearts to to draw near to Him. So anyway, there's three thoughts that I would like to draw from these verses that we read. The first one is it talks about the remnant of Baal. And you'll find that there in verse 4. There towards the end of the verse, I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place in the name of the cherubim with the priest. The remnant of Baal. If you'll turn to Exodus, if you just don't want to turn there, that's fine. I'm going to read several scriptures here. You're welcome. Feel free. You're not obligated to turn. But I'm going to turn to Exodus 34. There was a verse there, or several verses. Here's several verses here in Exodus 34 in verse 12, where God is warning His people of dangers that are lying ahead. God is coming to His people and He's faithful. He's saying, people, listen up. As you go to the land of Canaan, as you arrive, as you build a house, as you raise your families, as you go to work, there's some danger there. And I want to tell you about that danger. God is saying, I'm going to read what He says here. Observe, I'm starting in verse 11. Observe that thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars and break their images and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. Still a warning. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. It's just a little warning what God gave His people prior. And if you jump over to, if you go to 1 Kings 16, verse 31, there's a verse there. And the first one that we want to talk about is the remnant of Baal. Idol worship, ungodly, heathenish practice and sacrifices to other gods other than the one true God. God is warning them, be careful with this. Life is full of danger. And here we have them coming into the land of Canaan. And we jump ahead into Kings here. And we have all the kings. We have Saul, David, and Solomon, and on up. And then when we get to Ahab, there's a verse 31 in 1 Kings 16. It says, "And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him." Here we have Ahab, and Ray was talking about us telling our children what God wants from our life. And I don't know where Ahab missed it here, but something went wrong. I'm not sure if we could link it to in an exact spot, but something went wrong. And Ahab, not only did he take a Phoenician ungodly princess from outside of the faith, but she didn't love God no more than anything, and he married her. And not only did he marry her, but he followed after her evil practices. And it was what God had warned his people that would happen if they did that. And Ahab missed that. And if you look at Ahab's life, and please don't feel like I'm picking on anybody here. I'm not. I am trying to, when we get done looking at the negative, I want to pull some positive out and look at some positive scripture that are completely the opposite. But if we'll go to the book of Luke and look at Jesus' words there to in Luke, we find many, many scriptures where Jesus, in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, where Jesus warns us to take heed and to watch and to beware. And I'd like to read a few of those here in a little bit. But Ahab, he married this wicked woman, and it caused him lots of grief in his life. Anyway, what I was saying, if you look at Ahab's life, where I'd left off, you see a man that he had a knowledge of God. It even said he repented maybe a few times. But the spiritual reality of the God of heaven in his soul, in his life, it was missing. It wasn't no reality there to him. He sort of just bounced along, and then when he got into an encounter where he needed God, then he would sort of repent, but then he'd plunge headlong into sin again. And we don't see a man that ever gained strength that gained the strength of God. He just sort of wandered aimlessly, and he was helpless. He was hopeless. And I believe some of that had to do with the environment that he chose to surround himself with. And that it's a reminder to me that if I want to be a child of God, that I need to be with the children of God, and that they can encourage me. I need the churches. I need the church here. I need your help. I need your encouragement. And Ahab didn't have that. He had just had himself surrounded with bad people. And there was even one time in his life when I think it was Hadad came and fought against him, and Ahab's army won the victory. And God had told him to destroy Ahab. I think it was Hadad. But anyway, Ahab would not listen. He saved the king's life. And not only did he not kill him, not destroy the wicked man, but he made a covenant with him. Made a covenant with his enemy. And I want to encourage us today that in the past week and in the coming week, you're going to have an opportunity to make a covenant with the enemy. The opportunity is going to be there. I don't know how it's going to come. I don't know how it's going to be. But each one of us is going to have an opportunity to make a covenant with our enemy. Just beware. Don't go there. He will deceive us. He will kill us. We cannot linger on those grounds. We cannot tarry there. God help us. Okay, we'll go to point two. The first one was the remnant of Baal. There would be many, many more thoughts to share on how that could filter from, go out from there. But for the sake of time, we'll just look at a couple simple aspects. The next point was, I have three points here. The next point is, I have three points on the negative. The verse, well, I'm not flipped there anymore, but in Zephaniah there, in a verse 6, and we have a judgment to the people that are in this category. It says, "And them that are turned back from the Lord." And today, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for His beautiful salvation, His love and His mercy that He has given to us. And we believe that through the blood of Christ, that okay, this is a book. We believe that there is a book with God, and that in that book, that your name is there. There, someday that book's going to be opened. Name after name after name. Be in that book. We believe that if a person comes to Jesus Christ and truly repents and confesses and by faith comes to God and accepts the pardon that is in Jesus Christ, accepts the only gate, that God saves that person. God writes that person's name in heaven. And it's only through Jesus Christ. We believe that. We rejoice in that fact. That our sins are forgiven. That is a glorious thought. May that continue to be precious to us our whole life. And just another thought to add to that, God is not a covenant-breaking God. God doesn't... You struggled last week. God doesn't get His big eraser out. I knew I should have never put His name in there. I don't believe God does that. I believe when God puts your name, when He puts our name in His book, I believe that we have all the power in heaven and earth at our resource. That we have a God that the last thing in His heart is to bar anyone from entering heaven. There is a message to be preached on that. It's found in the thoughts there, where I forgot what book it's in. I didn't look at it, but the you guys probably know. But where the Spirit of God left the temple, and the temple was ended up being desolate there at the If we look at that, it's such a beautiful picture of the reluctance of God to draw away from His people. God is for us. Who can be against us? So, as we go through these points, we'll keep that in mind. But the second point, nonetheless, is them that are turned back from the Lord. We realize, however, that since we are still in the flesh, that we have the potential to not be faithful. We have the potential to not be true. And I'd just like to take a real quick example of that. If we look at Abraham gave Lot his choice of property. Lot, and we all know the story. Lot chose to pitch his tent towards Sodom. And Lot and Abraham, they come from the same family. I think that they both had the same opportunities in life to walk close to God. Lot chose to pitch his tent towards Sodom. And by doing that, it cost Lot dearly. It cost him everything he had. I know Peter says that his righteous soul was vexed within him, paraphrased, as he was in the wicked city every day. I know Peter, it says that in Peter. But look at what it cost Lot. The Bible says that when the angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah, they found Lot, and he was reluctant to leave. If we look at his spiritual life, instead of being quickly going into flight away from sin, he was reluctant to leave. And we see the faithful love of God. He did go to his son-in-laws, and the Bible says, and he seemed unto them as one that mocked. His son-in-laws had no respect for him. They grab Lot, and we get the idea that they compelled him, they led him, they drug him from the city, and he even seemed to have a little bit of an unthankful heart there about which city to go to. And I think that we could safely say that he had backslid, and it cost him. And if we would study there in Genesis, if we were to study that, there would be many, many examples we could pull out for our families today. But just a few more thoughts quickly, and then we'll get on to the third point. Lot ran from Sodom, and he had lots of possessions there. Went, and it gives the idea that he's going, but where's his wife? Anybody know where his wife was? I think she was behind. I don't know if I have that verse wrote down. It's found in Genesis 19, verse 26. It says, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I don't know what that speaks today to us. Where is your wife? Where is my wife? Does she have a hold of your hand? Is she with you? Have you betrayed her last week? Have you given her reasons to not hold your hand? How close are you to your wife? And if you don't believe that your wife's important, we should look at the example that Christ gives us of the church and what Paul gives us. It's something we can't miss, brothers. I want God to make that more real in my life. I just want to encourage us that if last week, if things were not completely clear between you and your wife, take opportunity. Talk with her. Visit with her. Share your heart with her. God will bless you for that. And then we have Lot's children there, alone with Lot. What an unfortunate situation. What a sad, sad thought. Lot alone with his daughters. His wife is gone. His possessions are gone. The judgment of God has come. Them that are turned back from the Lord. First one was the remnant of Bel. The second one, them that are turned back from the Lord. The third one, in the negative aspect, is found in verse 6. It's them that have not sought the Lord. You find that in Zephaniah verse 6. And I don't know what that means to you, that God's judgment is coming to all people who have not sought the Lord. I don't know what that means to us. But it should mean something to us. That should mean something in the way that we can't just be neutral. We can't just be coasting along, idling along, and hoping that curve ain't too sharp. We need to seek God. Jesus says that we need to watch. He says that we need to pray. I think of the Israelites. They had been delivered from so great of a bondage. They were just fresh out of bondage in Egypt. And they got hungry. And what did they do when they got hungry? Did dad get mama and gather the children around and pray? No, they didn't. They hollered at Moses. Moses, what's going on? We're hungry. Can't you see? Was that right? Was it Moses' fault? No, it was our own fault. It was my fault that I was hungry. And God is the only one that can help me. They complained. They had an unthankful heart. And they turned on their leader. They turned on Moses. And just a thought that I want to share here on Moses was, does everyone here love their brother? Do each one of you love Brother Steve? Do I love Brother Steve? Do you know that there is a very, very powerful realm there? Do I love Brother Titus and the ministers at the home church? Do I love them with a fervent love that my heart is clear before them? And Brother Steve, do you love the sheep? Do you love them with a fervent love that no matter how I respond, no matter how I act, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, you don't base your love on that. You base your love from the strength that God gives you in Jesus Christ. That is not what the children of Israel had. Children of Israel did not love Moses in that way that it was real enough that they could bless him. Someday in heaven, it's going to be a realm. If you read in the book of Revelations, and I love to think of the thought of the church functioning here, and here in on this side of eternity, there's a lot of parallels with the functions of the church. There's some parallels and shadows there for heaven. Things are functioning in heaven in a very, very beautiful way, and I want to be there. And I want to be doing my part to bless. I want to be doing my part to encourage and to worship and to walk. And I just want to encourage us in that today. I have many, many, many dear brothers here today that I love very, very deeply. You have no idea how special church is here to me. God has blessed you here. God wants to continue to bless you. He wants to continue to bless His people and His church wherever they are. God is not against us. God is for us. And I just wanted to encourage us that the church functions here. And something else that I sometimes I give my brothers a rough time. I have some younger brothers I won't mention their names. But sometimes when brothers' meetings comes up, and my younger brothers are an encouragement to me. I love them. They bless me way more than I bless them. But sometimes I tell them that, you know, when we play basketball and the night gets long, we don't mind. Well, sometimes when there's a brother meeting and the night gets long, we have a choice how we can look at it. We can look at it as, this is ridiculous. This is off. I'm going home. Or we can look at it in humility. We can look at it in meekness. And we can look at it as an investment. And be there. And you younger ones. I don't know how many young ones here go to brothers' meetings. Even if you go and don't say anything. If you're just there. And the Holy Spirit of God is within you. And you are present at that brothers' meeting. God will bless you for that. You can be there for the church. And you can be an example and an encouragement to the older brethren here. So I just want to encourage the young ones. The brothers' meeting gets long. That's okay. That's okay if they're short too. But yeah, that was our last negative point there. The Israelites, the next chapter, maybe, I don't remember what chapter it was. But it was the very next chapter, chapter 22 there in Exodus, I think it may have been. It was hungry the first time, I think, and they got thirsty the other day. And so they did the same thing. They climbed all over Moses. And they did not seek God. There would be many, many other examples in the Bible that we could draw from of men that did not seek God. But those are just some simple ones that we can understand. If you allow me to use that, the Israelites and their journey and their walk, most of the time they did not seek God. In the book of Revelations, we have John. In John's letters, we have a warning to being lukewarm. And I don't want to be lukewarm. And I find it in my life that I think we should probably always be sober about sharing the Word of God. I'm not exactly sure that I would want to call Brother Steve and say, I'm coming up next weekend. Can I preach? Maybe some of you have the liberty and the freedom and God's anointing and blessing to do that. And if you do, I want to bless you in that. But my point is that, but when it's our turn to share, give it your all, brothers. Give it your all. You ain't sharing to impress Brother Steve. You ain't sharing to impress Brother John. You're sharing because of Jesus. So you young ones, if you have an opportunity to share, if it ever comes your turn, it don't matter if you don't know much. Just share the love of Jesus. God will bless you for that. Who knows? The next day you may be called home. Your life may end here the next day. And what a testimony that the last time with the brethren, you just, from the depths of your heart, shared the love of God. You can do that. And that's for all of us. Each one of us here that have been born again by the Spirit of God, we may never say a word, but we can bless God and we can encourage each other because His Spirit is within us. You sisters, that's for you too. You can bless God. You can bless your families, your husbands. You can bless the church in the very, very simple things in life. Look at Dorcas. God wants you to do that. God wants to be glorified. So I just want to encourage all of us that when we have opportunity, God wants to bless us. For the sake of time, I'm not going to turn to the other scriptures. But just real briefly here, I want to look at Moses and just draw a couple of things from his life. Moses was not like Ahab. Moses was a man that had Brother Ray or Brother Sally, somebody mentioned it today about commitment. Moses had commitment. When Moses had a bad week, if Moses struggled, if Moses fell, he got up and he walked on with God. I want us to do that. If we have a not so good week, a not so good day, just look at Moses. He was a regular type of person, a regular guy, just like you and I. And he was able to bring glory to God. And just one quick thought here. When I think of Moses, you know how when you construction workers go to have break time maybe, and you look so forward to it because you work hard like 10 times harder than the rest of us. And when 9 o'clock comes around or whatever time, and you climb off of that roof or whatever, and I'm just, yeah, there's a lot of hard work out there in different occupations, but that cup of coffee is so good. That nourishment, that strength to go back and work hard and provide. Well, sometimes our schedules get full, and I tell my wife, dear, I think me and you should get away for a few days. I think we should go to Florida. Oh yeah, and I don't have time to tell you a story. The last time I was in Florida, I met a Jew down there. I had a really, really interesting talk with her. She was an Israelite. But anyway, we have a little quiet time with our family or a little quiet time with our wife. And it strengthens us. It helps us. And I think that's good. I think God's people should take time for their wife and for their families in whatever way God leads in a godly manner. I want to encourage you in that, to take time. If it's just at home or if it's on a trip, however you do it, just take time. I'm not bringing that in a negative way. But back to Moses. Every day, all the people would come to him and they would have problems and problem after problem after problem. And I'm trying to picture all the Israelites lined up as far back as you can see, and they're coming to Moses with their problems. And he is weary day after day after day. And never, ever once in the Scripture do we find that Moses went on furlough. Never once did he desert his post. Details are different. We live in the 20th century. I want to give you freedom and liberty. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead. But the principle is still the same. When Moses died, Does any of the children know who? You know how when you children go to funerals and you walk through the line with daddy and mommy? Does any of you children know who was at Moses' funeral? Does any of the children know? There was somebody at Moses' funeral that was very, very special. Some of you older children, maybe? It was God. God came to Moses' funeral. Not only did God come to his funeral, but God buried him. Pretty special friend, eh? Yeah. That's the friend that I want to be to God. Is that the friend you want to be? Wouldn't that be special? Listen to what Brother Ray told you this morning. God will take you there. God will lead you in that. There would be many other men to talk about. I got a list here that I scribbled down that I just flipped through my Bible and just scanned and wrote down a negative list and a positive list of men that either lost their soul or made wrong decisions in life and suffered for it. And I was going to read the list off, and I was actually thinking about writing their names on there. But we have families. We have right, and we have wrong. And in the Bible, there are many, many, many families, individuals, and families together that we can read about, that you'll find them here, or you'll find them here. You children, do you want to be righteous? Do you want to be righteous? Do we know how to be righteous? Well, a really, really simple thought to be righteous is to do right. Do right. Every time. God will bless you for that. So I won't write their names down. I probably won't even read them off. I'd like to close here with, we have John the Baptist to talk about. We have Christ's approval on his life. There's a lot of things to draw from there. But I'd like to flip to Book of Romans. And look at the first verse there. You actually don't need to turn there if you don't want to. But in the first verse, you'll find Paul. And you have there in the verse, he was a servant of Jesus Christ. That's what you and I want to be today. We want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. We have in 2 Timothy, for some closing verses, in 2 Timothy 3:14-17. It would be enjoyable to talk about Paul's life. There could be a dozen messages preached just from a very, very simple base of going out from that. But just think of Paul. Think of his race. Think of his fight. Think of his courage, his zeal, his inspiration, his faithfulness, and his commitment. Just think of that. And allow it to challenge my life. Allow it to challenge our hearts to go on. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And it was my desire to flip to the book of Luke and read some of the words of Jesus. But for the sake of time, I'm not going to, But if we would have any questions today on, is there really instructions or is there really encouragement from Jesus to motivate us and to encourage us on in the especially in Luke, but yeah, in all the Gospels, there's many, many, many verses where we are to fear God, where we are to take heed, where we are to watch. If the good man of the house had known the 10 virgins, That the marriage feast, over and over and over, Christ is preparing us. He's encouraging us. The clock's ticking. So we have Paul at the end of his life here, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And then there's another verse, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. Some of the last words of Paul. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Grandma and Grandpa, I want to bless you. God bless you. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And brother, could you start pure in heart? I think it's 7:03. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Thank you for allowing me this short time to share. I trust that I didn't offend anybody, and I trust that you will pray for us when you think of us. And I love you all very, very much, and thank you for the encouragement and the blessing that we have received and continue to receive from the church here. May God bless you.
Well, thank you, brothers.